everybody. Welcome to Channel 9 to the security talk. Today I have some special guests which will introduce themselves. I'm Andreas Wolter from Sapedon Quality Lab, Microsoft Certified Master for Data Platform and specializing among other things in security. But most importantly, with us here today from Redmond is Joachim Hammer. And can you explain a little bit about your role?
Sure, thank you, Andreas. So yes, my name is Joachim Hammer, and I'm the program manager lead for the security team in the database systems group. Our team delivers all the security features that we have today in the various SQL release vehicles and of course in SQL Server 2016. And I'm very happy to be here. I've enjoyed the conference so far. And yeah, we'll see what this panel brings.
Yeah, thank you. It's an honor to have you here, the man who decides on security in SQL Server. And also with me here, Tobias Koborowski.
Yes.
Security expert from United Kingdom.
Yes, actually from United Kingdom. Originally I'm Polish, but I'm living in United Kingdom. My name is Tobias Koborowski. I am an independent consultant, trainer, data platform MVP for the last 6 years, community leader group, and work around SQL Server, SharePoint, Azure Cloud Services, generally around the data.
All right, so we have a good combination here, the chief of security and a user who has to work with the tools. So actually, and the next thing is coming very, very, very soon, SQL Server 2016. And as we all probably have seen, security is one of the major investments in this new release, besides in memory and performance. But security this time, in my opinion, is really one of the two biggest improvements. So can you tell us a little bit about the vision, the background, why so much, how does it come, what's your intention behind those features?
Sure. So thank you, Andreas. That's right. SQL 2016, SQL Server 2016, we've made significant investments in the security area. We're really proud of all the features that are coming out that the team in Redmond, and I should also mention we have another team in Israel, in ILDC. So there's two teams working on it, and both of us together, I think we've released quite an impressive set of features, starting with Always Encrypted, of course. We talked about it in the session yesterday. This is the encryption feature. We're breaking new grounds there in terms of how we protect information from high-privileged users. But we've also made some investments in features like row-level security. This is something that, of course, all of you know that we've been talking about for quite some time. And now 2016 is finally the release where this is coming to fruition. We've got data masking, and another great feature that is getting some really good feedback from customers, early customers. And then we're making some improvements just around the release in terms of updating our crypto algorithms. We've made some improvements to the performance for TDE, that's our transparent data encryption. So we've worked all around the release, just in general, strengthening the security and providing customers with new features to help them keep the databases safe and secure, and addressing some of the new threats that are coming, unfortunately, that we always have to sort of stay on top of. So that's in a nutshell what we've been doing, and then we can talk about any one of those in more detail or respond to some questions. And I'd love to hear from Tobias as well how things are being received in the community. Maybe you can give us some sort of early heads up in terms of how do you think this is landing in terms of security. That'd be a great sort of data point for us. So always interested in customer feedback, of course.
Yes, from my perspective and from my talks with the community, of course, the security improvements in SQL 16 are very, very important. But we look a little bit more for the Azure services, especially with the easy implementation for the security features inside the SQL Azure database. Like, for example, some of my customers have a problem for many years with the enabling transparent data encryptions. They always think that it's very hard to do it, to manage the keys, manage all of the encryption and so on. And for example, with SQL Azure database, we can just enable encryption just with the one click, one button, generally, and our database is encrypted. And it works on the fly. And it's really, really amazing, one of the most amazing features. But of course, data masking, is another good great feature. If you have credit cards, if you have security numbers, we can create, of course, our masks, which we need to cover our special numbers or special data. And it's, again, enabled with Azure very, very easily.
Yeah. Interesting.
It's interesting that you you mentioned Azure, of course, which is always on top of our mind. And when we shaped the release for 2016, SQL Server 2016, Azure played a very important role there in terms of not just how we think about security, but also the kind of user experience that we're striving for now for all of our features, not just security. And you mentioned TDE, which is, of course, we call the team that was the two-click done team, or the click-click done team, because really it was just a matter of making two clicks and then you can enable encryption at rest. So this is, of course, a very high bar to achieve for all of the features, and you know that, for example, row-level security is not, or always encrypted, is not one of those features that's currently available in the portal with some very easy clicks. But in general, we're striving for something that allows customers to enable something very quickly, very easily, without a lot of configurations. And where that's possible, that's certainly one of our goals. And another thing that that Azure has helped us tremendously is, and Jürgen brought it up in the keynote yesterday, so we're now a cloud-first operation. It's cloud-first, but not cloud-only. And having Azure, having the platform and we have over 1.5 million databases now, so a significant number of users, having them test our features, giving us feedback, that's also extremely valuable to us to help us tweak not just the user experience, but also making sure that the feature themselves is aimed at the right sort of target audience and it's working in the way that it should be working. So that's, yeah.
That's an interesting point that you bring in there, that you have the immediate feedback from users. How about if you look at it from a little bit different perspective? You're on Azure, and Azure is probably the most the system that's most under attack on the world, probably. Can you explain a little bit what are you doing to learn from that and maybe giving it back to the customers? I've heard some rumors that there's something coming.
Not sure I can respond to the rumor part, but that's another. Thanks for bringing that part up. So Azure, yes, it's a cloud. It's constantly under attack. We assume breach. We have this position that we assume the bad guys are there. They're in, and we have to make sure that we detect, and then we can mitigate and prevent. And so we have significant amount of investment, just aimed at keeping Azure SQL Database, SQL DW, our cloud investment safe and secure. And then some of this you will actually see in the form of external features. So SQL Threat Detection is probably a perfect example of this. This is a new service that we're offering now to our SQL Database customers, which essentially keeps is a service that runs underneath the covers, and it'll alert the owners of databases if something suspicious out of the ordinary is happening. So we've got a bunch of algorithms that are constantly looking at patterns, at usage patterns, and then they detect if something is out of the ordinary, and then you'll get an email saying, hey, we noticed there's something going on. It might be a SQL injection attack, perhaps, and that'll give you directed sort of feedback that you can actually go into the portal, look at some audit logs, and then make a quick determination whether, yep, something is happening, something's going on, or maybe this was just a false alarm. So this is one example of where some of the investments we're making to keep the Azure cloud safe will then come back to customers as in the form of a service that we're offering. There's other things that are coming that are not quite ready to sort of be discussed here today, but you can rest assured that all of the stuff that we're doing in the cloud will eventually, indirectly as well as directly, benefit the customers.
That's very, very interesting feedback on the Azure Threat Detection. Actually, one of my favorite new things that are coming, that we can all learn from what you are learning on being attacked. Let's talk about again, always encrypted. Maybe actually, Tobias, what do you think, if you look at on the architecture, do you think it will convince more customers to go into cloud? Is it a feature that supports this criteria?
I think that the idea of always encrypted is really, really good because we can enable encryption in our environment. And if we look for our last cases, for example, with the situation with Apple, we went with the encryption of data of the Apple phones, for example, when the users want to have keep the data encrypted and not available for all the other people. So we can easily manage and enable always encryption in the SQL Server and working with the cloud services and on-premise services, of course. And our data will be encrypted on the mat, on the fly, all of the time when we move, even with the mirroring. We discussed yesterday at the session, even with the mirroring with other features. So it's another very, very good tool which is implemented inside the SQL Server. And the other point, which is interesting from my perspective, even we work only with the premise on-premise services. If we're looking for the accounts, for example, if we use normally we use a SA account or admin account or rooted accounts, so those accounts are forbidden in SQL databases, in Azure databases. Mm-hmm. So if you look for the architecture, and if we can plan that, if in some of the future we really have a plan for moving to the cloud, we need to remember that we should avoid this account, those accounts, and our SQL Server premise, it's much secure at the beginning because SA admin root are forbidden. So most attacked accounts, we will not use this account. So it's another example when we can get some knowledge from the different points and implement this to our SQL Server premise, even we still work only on premise.
Perfect point. Actually leads us to another topic, which would be interesting maybe for everybody. Separation of duties and DSA, the infamous sysadmin account. Can you, Joachim, maybe explain a little bit, what are your visions? How can, maybe is it possible to get rid of the DSA account? What's your vision in this area?
Certainly, I can try. So it's no deep secret that we've been thinking about separation of duties back in our team for quite some time now. We know it's a challenge. We've heard loud and clear from customers that something needs to be done. We don't have something to share broadly at this point yet, but we actually had a very useful and very, very helpful session, and you actually participated back in Redmond. It was in the fall, I think, in September, or no, actually it was November, about some of the feedback from our MVPs, our most valuable customers out in the field about what should be done and what kind of issues are you seeing. And so separation of duties was top of mind, especially the fact that we have this all-powerful sysadmin account and there's so many challenges around securing and locking down the database. In terms of what are we doing, so probably getting rid of the SA account, that's not going to happen. But there are other things that we can do, and some of the things I think we discussed back then was, what can we do to facilitate or to help lock down SQL Server? So maybe one solution is to help our customers avoid the SA account at all costs, or for at least as long as possible, and maybe provide a mechanism that would allow them to elevate into the SA role, elevate privileges in order to complete a task, and then when the task is done, then fall back out of this role. And so this just-in-time sort of access privilege might be something that is useful in terms of helping secure the server. And so we're looking at that. There's actually third-party companies right now that you could use to sort of achieve that goal. I think Dell and Leapsoft are some of them. So that's one area we're looking at.
So are we looking for a just-in-time permission system?
Well, as I said, I don't really I can't really
just trying
confirm this yet. We are definitely working on a solution. It's not a simple task. It's not something we can just quickly do in a couple of months and then we're done, because of the fact that the SA account is so deeply rooted in everything in SQL as well as in Windows Server. And so another something that we looked at was maybe we'll have other roles or more roles, or maybe we'll help you configure your roles in a more flexible manner. So there's a bunch of avenues that we're going down right now. All I can say at this point is we'll have something. We're definitely working on it. I don't really want to confirm yet which direction we're going yet. I don't want to put too much pressure on the team because we're still designing a lot of this stuff and we're figuring out how this rolls out. But we do hear you loud and clear. We know the pain that's there. I think we'll leave it at that. And before I lean too far out the window here.
Absolutely.
And then regret something.
Thanks a lot for giving this insight.
Sure. Yeah.
What are your experiences with trying to handle this separation of duties in the current releases? Like SA, you have control server permissions, you have different server roles, you have permissions on server level. Are any customers really trying to do this so far? What are they looking for?
Yes, from time to time I got some questions, but I need to back to the basics, because I think that we still need to be better educated, especially that I auditing systems from time to time, and I see all of the security things which are, for example, top 10 of the security worst practices. So, for example, 7 of them are enabled in the companies, on the enterprises, like, for example, weak passwords or same passwords for several services accounts, or using the, for example, one service accounts for all of the roles, because it's much easier to install this environment, for example, with the basic, just the click, 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 instead of planning the architecture, because with the planning, you need to spend more time for create, imagine what you want to create and which functionality you should implement before starting implementation. So I think, so my opinion from my work with my customers and with the community is better education and, for example, even working with the separatists of duty and all of these features to understand how it works and why we should use, for example, different accounts, why we should use different passwords, when we should use encryption, when not, because sometimes encryption is not necessary, especially yesterday we discussed on the session, you discussed on the sessions that different kind of encryptions for different solutions.
Yeah.
So sometimes transport data encryptions, okay. Sometimes always encrypted. But sometimes we need to remember just to encrypt our backup files when we are storing on a blob storage,
yes,
for example, because someone could get, if they get access, for example, for the file and our data are not encrypted, like a backup data, someone still have access for this. Yeah, so again, yeah, education from the basement, my opinion.
Yeah. I think you're making some good points. I think we have a lot of ground to cover still around educating people on the dangers and some on the challenges of securing SQL Server, the dangers of the SA account, using the SA account. So I think we need to do better there, and then we can, you know, love to get your help on that, and maybe we can team up and come up with some sort of a guidance or so that we can socialize and surface with customers. And you bring up encryption, and that's a very good point. I forgot to mention that. That's actually already, you can consider that a down payment on separation of duty already, because that's one tool that helps you limit the impact or the role of sysadmin, right? And that was one of the design principles for Always Encrypted, was how can we protect sensitive data from a high privileged user such as an SA. So that's already, I think, one step in that direction. Of course, there's more coming, but I think Always Encrypted has a very strong value proposition, and the protection against DBA or high privileged accounts is one that
absolutely falls in that. Yeah, it's already kind of built in,
yeah,
separation if you use it, absolutely. And actually, since you brought this up, education of users, what would you recommend as Microsoft how to tackle the topic, the whole area of security for the people out there? Like, there have been white papers out there since 10 years or longer. The old principle, I call it old, was like consider this onion model from outside to inside. You have to think about security in layers. Is this the accurate and the way you would recommend, or do you have maybe some other guidance how to tackle this broad field in security?
So you don't like the onion model? No, just kidding. We're still using the layered model. As if you were in the session yesterday, we're still thinking in terms of sort of layers of protection. But folks in my team back home, they actually keep reminding me that this is probably not the best way to think in terms of for security. And so one area that we're going down now is to think much more in terms of scenarios, and specifically for security. If you look at security scenarios, if we can formulate for example, intent, a user wants to store HPI or PII or sensitive data in SQL Server, what are some of the features that should be used together to make that happen? So if we could isolate a bunch of these security scenarios and then provide guidance around them to say, hey, if you want to store HPI data, then you should use encryption, you should turn auditing on, you should have data encryption addressed, you make sure that your backups are encrypted to your point. So if we can think more in terms of scenarios rather than individual features that we're throwing out there, and then we get questions like yesterday, hey, what's the difference between data masking and encryption? I actually hear that a lot, and we probably haven't done a real good job explaining what that is. But we want to avoid those kinds of questions, and the more features we build, the more confusion there might be around customers and users in terms of what features do we need actually to really lock down SQL. And that question is a hard one to answer unless you provide examples for what are your intents, what do you intend to use the database for, what do you need to, what kind of threats are you protecting against? Are those threats on the network, for example, or are you worried about somebody stealing a hard drive from you? So if we can, and this is something that we're trying now, if we can identify scenarios, and again with help from you folks, and then provide guidance around, hey, if you want to achieve this, these are the features that play together, this is how you can secure your database, I think we'll make a big step forward in terms of reducing confusion and also making it easier for customers to use SQL and use it in the right manner. So that's sort of what we're thinking here. Again, mm-hmm. We don't have a whole lot of stuff, you know, sort of concrete collateral to roll out to you, but that's, again, sort of fresh off what we're working on. And again, in a few weeks, months, hopefully you'll see the fruits of that labor coming next conference. Hopefully we'll have some more to talk about there.
Okay, so it's not only about new features, but also about new ways of thinking, how to educate the people, how to tackle the...
Exactly, it's all about its education, it's internally our way to think about scenarios rather than individual features, thinking about how things fit together, and then how we can pass this on and make it easier for customers to understand what actually these features achieve. I think, yeah, that's a good way to phrase it.
By the way, the audience, any questions? You have a microphone here. Okay, I remember one question from the audience lately. With all those many features that we are seeing in the next release, can you say anything about how the probability is at least, and which additions do we get, for example, always encrypted data masking? Can we expect to be able to mask our data even in Express Edition maybe?
That's the old SKU question is coming up again.
It's coming. People are very curious because they're trying to plan for the next release.
It's a good question. I do have, it's sort of like good news, bad news kind of answer here. So the good news is that if you look at Azure SQL Database and SQL DW, the good news that I have for you is, and that you've seen already, is that we're not distinguishing among the features anymore. If you look at the tiers, or actually we call them tiers, not SKUs in the cloud. If you look at all the tiers, basic, standard, premium, from a feature perspective, including security, they're all the same. You can get a $5 basic database that has all the security features in it, just like you would get on a premium. So we're only distinguishing between resources, how much IOPS, how powerful are these tiers. So that's great. I think this is real progress. I'm really happy with this. Customers have been super happy with it. That does not translate into SQL Server on-premise yet. So there we're still using the traditional SKU model with Express, Standard, and Enterprise. And unfortunately, at this point, in 2016, well, it hasn't settled yet, but there's no real change between 16 and 14 in terms of what is available, with two exceptions, actually. I think you will see that from the surface area, JSON integration will be available at the standard level. And then there'll be a basic HA solution in standard. That's the one that gives you, I think it's a two-node availability group with, I believe it's a single database. So there'll be a basic HA solution for standard. With the exception of these two, I don't see any difference between 14 and 16. Of course, we still have a little bit of time. I don't know if there's any changes that might be coming. It's a tough It's a tough decision for Microsoft. On one hand, yes, we'd like to see a lot more things show up in all the different SKUs. On the other hand, we have to make sure this also sort of meets our business needs and it makes sense from a business perspective. So we're in a little bit of a bind there. I think over time you'll see probably some movement, but at this point, unfortunately, I don't have any news yet for you on that front. But at least there's the cloud, and the cloud, I think, sets a great precedent, and I'm really happy how things are landing there, and we're hearing from customers that this is actually great news. So you can get always encrypted in the cloud on all the tiers, and doesn't matter, you know, whether you pay thousands of dollars a month or just a couple dollars a month.
All right.
So.
Any more questions? Last chance.
I actually have some more questions, and if we have some time.
Yes, use the time and ask the audience.
We can ask the audience too, and that's actually a great question. So I'm curious for Always Encrypted, and Tobias has some given us some good feedback there. How does the value proposition resonate with customers so far? Do you think are we on point there? Is this meeting a need? I've been sort of. There's a lot of ways to think about Always Encrypted, and so I'm curious as to how you both of you sort of, when you look at Always Encrypted, how is it meeting the needs of our customers? How are we messaging it? Is any feedback you have there could be do? What can we do differently, and what can we do better? Scoping this, so Always Encrypted V1 is really just a step in a long journey. There'll be a lot of sort of iterations over it, and the team at home, we've had lots and lots of discussions as to how should we package this up, what features do we need, and how should this work initially, because it's too big to roll out all at once. And so I'm curious, did we succeed here? Is this the way we package? Is V1 looking like it's a winner on the long line of more winners coming, or what can we have done? Could we have done differently? What's your take? Love to hear from you guys and the audience too.
So the feedback I am having is actually very positive, and I've seen lots of people already playing with it and trying out, and even saying like, instead of TDE, let's now switch this. If this is the right answer, I'm not so sure, but at least you can see people are ready to tackle this new technology. And what I've seen actually, they try to use to put all the data encrypted. So the coverage of data types is one of the things, like usually in V1s, yeah, that you cannot support every detail of the engine. Those are the things that I've seen so far, problems from the architecture. Why do they adapt so quickly? Mm-hmm. Feeling is, of course, it's so easy. You just have to change the connection string. If you have the new framework, that's of course one base you need to use.
Good.
And then it's really simple. You even can use the wizard mm-hmm. in most cases. Yeah. So I think the perception is almost as simple as TDE.
Oh,
and
wow,
TDE was a winner because it was simple. Yeah. Uh-huh. Click, click.
Click, click, done. That's right.
Yeah. So I think it is really close to that. Yeah, definitely much, much more adopted or much better chances than column level encryption, cell mm-hmm. level encryption, which we had before. I think in my yesterday's session, one or two people at maximum have actually been using it out of 100 in the room.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think with Always Encrypted, you will have a much broader range of adaption.
Great.
And
good
especially
to hear that.
With the cloud in the background, I believe.
Yeah, I think that if we have the availability inside, for example, our SQL Server 16, easy way to enable this functionality. And if we think that, yes, we have some kind of data which should be encrypted in mm-hmm. some ways, could be column data encryption, could be cell data encryption, could be even transparent data encryption, different kinds of encryption, with different algorithms, key management, and so on and so on. But it's actually very easy to enable this. But my point, my opinion about this is we need to, again, back to the basics. So we need to plan why we need enable encryption, what could be a cost, because some of the customers ask, even yesterday on session, okay, what is the cost with the performance mm-hmm. if we enable encryption? So of course, there's always cost, some of them. But sometimes the cost of performance is better than cost of leaking data. And the leak of data is very, very popular topic now, because there's a lot of breaches around the world. I saw the very, very big leak of data, for example, in the United Kingdom with the TokTok or with simple Ashley Madison website, so for example. But if you look for that, we have some specific kind of data, especially medical data or financial data, we should enable encryption, maybe on all of the database with transport data encryption, maybe just with the columns. But just start, download the new version, install, start to play, check how it works, look for the results. Right. It's available for free for testing. It's not a problem to test.
Give it a try, yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. That's good to hear, especially the ease of use that both of you mentioned. That's a bit of a surprise to me, but it's a good surprise. I'm glad to hear it, and we'll certainly keep working hard and making it even easier to use. And I don't know if you folks in the audience have comments on this. Perhaps you have any special use cases, if you've tried it already, that Always Encrypted might solve for you. I'd love to hear from you. Doesn't have to be now. If you can, we can talk afterwards, or you can send email.
I think we had yesterday an interesting aspect on where to use Always Encrypted. Where it does not really fit yet is when you have a data warehouse system and you need this data as a base for your data warehouse later on. So one of the things that Always Encrypted does, it actually does change the metadata of the column. Mm-hmm. So this is one thing which does confuse some of the access there, the code that's using that data which is there. So it's not as transparent, of course, as TDE is. Yeah. Right. I mean, there's a reason, obviously, as TDE only file level, but this would be the one burden or the one hindering reason to use it in every scenario, I think I've seen.
And that's a fair point. I think both of you mentioned TDE. The guidance is not, this is not going to replace TDE. This is something that works well with TDE. TDE is still the base sort of table stakes, and then we always... the guidance from us is to look for customers, to look for sensitive columns and be very judicious in choosing which columns you want to protect with Always Encrypted, because of some of the limitations we still have in terms of the operations and some of the points we heard yesterday from the folks working for this insurance company, which was really an interesting use case there.
All right.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, so thank you for coming from Redmond. Thank you for coming from Nottingham, right? Yeah. Thank you very much to the audience for staying with us here, and enjoy the rest of the show and the conference.
And thank you for hosting us here, and quick thanks to the team back home who is making me look good. Whenever you guys talk about something that's easy to do, this really means somebody in the background has been working really, really hard to make that easy to you. So it's the folks back home in Redmond, the security team, and in Israel. They've been working really hard, and I'm just standing here and trying to look good and making them look good. So
thank you for your work.
Thank you.